Hillcrest, I cannot believe Easter is here. This is not the way any of us imagined celebrating Easter 2020, the Bartosik's first Easter with Hillcrest, but we are thankful that Easter is not canceled and we celebrate a risen Savior today. So if you're new with us, my name's David. I'm one of the pastors here at Hillcrest. Thank you for joining us. We are so glad you're here. And part of who we are as a body, as a church family, we just think we're a bunch of beggars that stumbled upon some food, and we want to share it with everybody that we believe that there is life in Jesus, and we just want to share that hope in Him with those around us. So we're so thankful you're joining in today with us. And after Easter, life continues, and we are continuing, and we're going to do a short series of 3 weeks just pressing into asking the question, God, where are you in the midst of this, in the midst of the circumstances, and asking if you are here present, God, what are you up to, and what ought be our response? So happy Easter, and hopefully that you've hashtagged Easter with Hillcrest and that you are at home wearing your Sunday best. And so snap a picture. We'd love to see you in your Sunday gear, just like we saw Fred and Eric with his tie and Fred in his sports coat. And so as we jump in, we are entering into Luke 24, where Jesus, the resurrected Savior, meets two guys on the road to Emmaus. So pray with me, and then we will begin our journey to Emmaus and beyond. God, you're so good. What a gift to gather remotely from our homes, believing that regardless of where we are, church continues, because church is not a building, but rather we are the people of God all over Dane County. So continue to reveal yourself this morning as we celebrate the truth of who you are. For your glory we pray. Amen. Amen. And so we're continuing into Luke 24, where we're going to see the first people that Luke records meeting Jesus. And so we're asking the question, why does Luke choose to record this being the first set of guys that he reveals himself to? So we're going to go from 13 to 35. So if you have your Bible, open it up, read along in the Gospel of Luke. Here we go. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to him, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village which they were going. He acted as if he was going to go farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is the end of the evening of the day, and the day is now far spent.' And so he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed.' And he appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. My mind can't help but go to, why does Luke record these two guys being the first to encounter our risen Lord? And here's my conviction. Here's what we're going to see this morning. I think that Luke is telling us that these two guys on the way to Emmaus, they took a journey that we actually all must take if we are to experience this life-transforming happiness that Jesus offers of walking with him as our resurrected Lord. That Luke picks these two guys purposefully, demonstrating they're on a journey, and we're going to explore that journey, and it's a journey we all must go on if we are to experience this life-transforming joy of walking with the resurrected Jesus. And here's where Luke begins. He begins in a journey of hope. And I can't help but think that we all put our hope in things, right? That sometimes we put our hope in sports teams. The NFL draft's coming up, and as a Vikings fan, I am always clinging to the hope that the Vikings will somehow be a little bit better next year, and maybe, just maybe, this year, we're going to make it to the Super Bowl. Sometimes celebrities, we idolize these people, claiming for autographs, clamoring for autographs, or even politicians, and we start putting yard signs and t-shirts and bumper stickers. We put our hope in things. And just like these guys, they were putting their hope in something that they thought was going to happen. Here's how Luke records it. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing them. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you're holding with each other, and as you walk?" And they stood still and looked sad. And what were they sad about? He goes on and says, "What things?" They said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." What I love about what Luke does right off the bat is that on this journey of hope, I actually love these guys' response because of the way they confront the disappointment. Because sometimes what it feels like when people are hit with disappointment, and if we look around, some might say there could be circumstances causing us to lose hope. Some people just pretend it doesn't exist. That they just assume these circumstances aren't really true, and they're pretending as if they don't exist. What I love about these guys is they confront their disappointment. The other challenge, though, is sometimes when we confront our disappointment, we actually disconnect it from the rest of our lives, and we say, yeah, my circumstances may be challenging right now, but I still have this deep faith. And I wonder sometimes if we disconnect those two when that's inappropriate. Some people disconnect their faith from the rest of their lives. Instead, what I love about these guys is they're confronted with disappointment. And Luke continues, and he continues to say, on this journey of hope, it might be rooted in some of those misconceptions you have if that hope has diminished. Here's what he says about the guys. So as they were walking and they drew near, they asked him, pick it up at verse 18, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem that does not know what's happening?" And he continues on and says, "What things? What things are happening?" And then they say this, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." At this point, they still thought Jesus was in the grave, and their misconception about who he was and what he came to do. And I can't help but see the irony in their statement. "We thought he was the one to redeem Israel." You know, in fact, he was the one that came to redeem Israel. In fact, the whole world, they just had a misconception about how he was going to go about redeeming Israel. Here's the misconception I thought they had. that they thought Jesus would redeem Israel by establishing a political military kingdom. That he was going to sweep out Rome and they could kick their feet up and have a wonderful, wonderful party celebrating that the Romans had been removed and their life would be easy. You know, it feels like to me sometimes in our world, we also have misconceptions about who Jesus is and who he came to be. Here's what it feels like sometimes happens in our culture, that our culture asks the question, you know, how can there be a God? How can there be a God when we look around and see bad things happen all around us? That there's this misconception that if I see bad things happening, that therefore there's no God. The question we would ask in response is, then where does good come from? Yeah, I understand you're attributing bad, but where's the good come from? And our culture may have this misconception that there's no God because we look around and we can see the challenges and bad things happening in life. I think that's a misconception. I think the second is when we look to Jesus and say he was a good teacher, but he's just one of many ways. Here's why we celebrate Easter, because we believe that Jesus is the only way, only truth, and only way to eternal life in relationship with God if we, by faith, treasure him above anything else this life has to offer. Our culture has this misconception that Jesus was just one of the ways. I think Luke, in his stories and recountings, says, no, Jesus was the guy. But as followers of Jesus, I think we too sometimes have misconceptions about this guy we're following. Just like the guys on the road to Emmaus, Luke tells us the story of these two guys because we find ourselves on a similar journey if we're to truly experience life with this resurrected Jesus. I think for us, sometimes when we treasure Jesus and we're forgiven of our sins and we have eternal life and we have confidence in God, sometimes we think that confidence means our circumstances will then be easy. I don't think Jesus promises the ease and the removal of difficulties and difficult circumstances, but he promises a radical transformation that takes place in our lives. And so you're going to watch a story right now from a couple that's a part of the Hillcrest Church family, and I hope you are encouraged about the story of transformation that is taking place in their life through this radical, radical transformation of them placing their hope in Jesus. Check it out. I hope their story encouraged you as you got a window into their lives and what the days ahead will continue to look like for the Judd family. But here's where it feels like their story ties in to the journey that Luke is walking us through telling about these two guys. That Luke tells us, as he's going to record their story, before he opened their physical eyes to share that Jesus was standing right there with them, Jesus opens their spiritual eyes. In the same way we heard Levi tell about crying out in that moment, before God opens our physical eyes, he opened their heart eyes. And he opened their heart eyes because here's my conviction. Why? Why does he not reveal himself until later? I think because then, now, in every generation, we don't have the joy of seeing the physical risen Savior. I haven't seen Jesus' bodily resurrection, but I have confidence in the text that he's revealed in, and I trust the imperfect stories of those whose heart eyes were open. Around here at Hillcrest, we care about experiencing God through his word, that we want then, now, and every generation to trust that God has revealed himself through this word, and we want to experience him here. And as a bunch of beggars who believe we found food, we just want to share it with others. That as imperfect stories of Jesus followers, we've had our heart eyes opened. And we want to continue to share those stories. Here's how Luke records it in the guys on the road to Emmaus. So that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, And I'm going to skip down to verse 18. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened?" And there's something that happens in between that interaction. Jesus is with them, but their eyes are kept from recognizing him. Why? Why does Jesus do that? And Luke record that their eyes are kept from recognizing him. I think because Jesus is now going to open their heart eyes to who he is. Because we don't get the luxury of seeing the risen Savior in bodily form. Instead, like many others, and I think Luke telling us here, we get to see him here and see him in the lives of his followers. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." He's saying, you should have seen and experienced me here. You should have known that was me. Why are your hearts troubled? Why are you sad? Because you should have seen me here. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them. Wouldn't you just love to sit there and hear Jesus reveal Old Testament text after Old Testament text after Old Testament text of why he had to suffer and die in the way he did? And he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That we hear all those Old Testament stories in Isaiah and Zechariah, that Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel, all are pointing us to Jesus. And then it's in that moment after Jesus reveals the truth of Scripture, it's then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. That I think in the same way, their physical eyes weren't opened until their heart eyes were opened. That in our lives, we want to continue to experience Jesus, though we can't see him, we love him and we rejoice with inexpressible joy, waiting and longing for the day of his return. And while we wait for that return, here's what we celebrate. Here's what we anchor our lives in. We will treasure the resurrected, living, life-transforming Jesus, that he is risen. Here's how Luke records it, and let's pick it up at verse 30. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. That they realized who this guy was and what he could do for their life, that this was the risen Messiah, and they took off back to Jerusalem to tell as many people as they could. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, "The Lord has risen indeed. He is risen." And we celebrate a risen Savior. But I can't help but think, we look around and we're gathering virtually. And we're gathering in our homes all over Dane County in Oregon, in Fitchburg, Verona, Middleton. As we gather together, we could look around and go, you know, I don't know if I feel the weight of the celebratory act of this Easter season. That maybe our lives are filled with more disappointment, or we look around and there's loneliness that confronts our lives. That maybe there's not the sweetness we want, but instead there's some bitterness poisoning our hearts. Because we think of relationships, maybe we've been in closer proximity, and there's frustration and anger that's been stirring up. Here's our confidence. This is why we celebrate Easter. Here is our confidence in following this resurrected Jesus. That we do believe we experience this power of Jesus. That he turns our disappointments, our overwhelming disappointments, the disappointments that are pressing in on us, into fulfillment. that they had misconceptions about who Jesus was supposed to be, that he was supposed to be the Messiah that was going to be the political king of Israel. He did come to redeem Israel, just not in the way they had anticipated. I think in our lives, when difficulties begin to crouch in like they might be doing in our present circumstances, the promise of Jesus is to turn these disappointments and difficult circumstances, not eliminate them, not remove them from our lives, but actually redeem them into fulfilling, life-giving, life-transforming in the midst of those circumstances, that he's transforming our disappointments actually into fulfillment that's developing us. I can't help but think of bitterness poisoning us, that in our relationships, that we might actually begin to hold some bitterness that begins to develop in our hearts, that maybe there's some things happening in our economy that we wonder, why does this have to happen to them? Maybe as we scroll through Instagram or Facebook, it appears people are living certain lives that we're not experiencing. And yet, I'm convinced that this transforming power of Jesus turns this bitterness into forgiveness that actually frees us to live in light of who he is rather than clinging on and clinging to bitterness. That somehow maybe my spouse had offended me, that somehow in this close proximity I've been hurt. My conviction is this life-transforming, resurrected Jesus through faith in him transforms this bitterness and we overflow with greater forgiveness. For some of us, we may find the Instagram scroll strong. That sometimes we feel the devil is in the licentiousness of life, and yet I think the radical transformation that happens because of the resurrected Jesus is our shallowness that preoccupies us is transformed into the eternal best is yet to come mindset that we believe and long and wait for the eternal. That we are so captured by an eternal mindset. And that is a reflection of us walking with the resurrected Jesus. And we may be sitting at home, isolated from others, and this loneliness creeps in. We're convinced that when we celebrate Easter, that Jesus steps into that loneliness that might be consuming us, and he fills us with his presence, and he says, my presence is enough, that Jesus is enough, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That this radical walk of living and walking with the resurrected Jesus is this movement from loneliness to being filled with his presence. And my favorite, I think these guys on the road to Emmaus had felt as if Jesus had abandoned them. That he had left them, had somehow left them on their own. They had hoped for who he was going to be, and they had felt abandoned. And yet what instead happens for us that follow this resurrected Jesus, instead of feeling abandoned, your life becomes filled with purpose. And instead of being abandoned by Jesus, we've actually been commissioned by Jesus as a bunch of beggars who have found some food, who have found life in his name, and we can't help but want to share it with those around us. So here's my encouragement wherever life might find you in the midst of our circumstances. I hope you hear that I love you. But more than that, there's a church family, Hillcrest Bible Church, that loves you and that longs to be in relationship with you. But even more than that, there's a risen Savior calling your name that says, I love you, I love you, I love you. So thank you for celebrating Easter with us. May I pray for us as we hear and celebrate in worship. God, you are so good. Thank you for who you are and your power transforming our lives. You are risen. May we celebrate that a little bit more fully this year in 2020, knowing that Easter was not canceled, that you are still on your throne. Thank you, Jesus. Always for your glory, we pray. Amen.